Prayed that God would give his presence as they traveled to the promised land after their tremendous failure with the golden calf. And then last week, he went up onto the mountain and God revealed himself through his character traits, which led Moses to fall down and worship. And after worshiping, he then came to God with another request here in Exodus 34, where we finished last week at verse 9. He said, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance." And he said, "Behold, I make a covenant. Before all thy people I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth nor in any nation, and all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after other gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters and none to thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods." So his name is Jealous. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful for this privilege, and pray you'd use your word now in our hearts and lives, that Jesus would be lifted up. Lord, that you'd be completely glorified through our time and our response to your precious word tonight. We give you this service and love you in Christ's name. Amen. So Moses said, "Lord, please forgive us and go among us and take us for thine inheritance." After asking for God's forgiveness and presence, he reminds God to please go with them and to please make them his inheritance. And God's response was to say, "I'm going to make a covenant." This is not one of the unconditional covenants, which we are aware of. This is a conditional covenant that God is making with his children. And as with his other covenants, it's always conditional upon basically one thing: obedience. Obedience. So he says there in verse 10, "I make a covenant. Before all thy people I will do marvels." God's going to do marvels through Israel. And we know that they crossed over the Jordan River. That was a marvel. The walls of Jericho fell down. And then they began to take city after city with God's help. Marvel after marvel. And he says, "And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord." You see, God always wanted Israel to be a testimony to the nations around them. If you go to Deuteronomy 4, we'll see this, verse 6, Deuteronomy 4, 6. But God chose Israel. Israel did not choose God. God chose them. God grew them. God protected them. And then God rescued them from Egypt. It's always been God. But he always wanted them to be a testimony. Notice Deuteronomy 4, 6. "Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great, that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day?" This is what God wanted the other nations to be saying about Israel. What people is there like this people? What people is this that has such a great God and that has given such an amazing law? But that's not how it worked out, is it? It wasn't long after they went into the promised land that instead they began to stop wiping out the nations, but start befriending them. And before they knew it, they were worshiping their gods. And instead of being a testimony of being a nation that followed God, they became a testimony of what happens when God has to punish his people. And that has gone on for a very long time. But this covenant, back in our passage, conditional, look at verse 11, observe. There is the condition. I'm going to do marvels. I want you to be a testimony, and I want you to obey. I want you to observe that which I command thee this day. For I am going to drive out all of these other nations. And when we get saved, doesn't God begin to drive out all that wickedness of our past? Which, remember, the promised land was a picture of the victorious Christian life. And God begins one by one to drive out these Hittites and the Jebusites and the Perizzites and the Hivites, which are representative of all these things that many of us, when we got saved later in life, had to be driven out. Because God says the alternative is another covenant. Look at verse 12. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with who? The inhabitants of the land. I'm making a covenant. My covenant is, if you will obey me, I'm going to do marvels. You're going to be a great testimony to the nations around you. I will bless you. Beware that you don't make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. Which, by the way, is exactly what they did, isn't it? It's part of the doctrine of Balaam. Remember when Balaam couldn't curse Israel, and he said to Balak, I can't curse them. You promised to pay me, profit for hire, but I can't do it, so I'll tell you what. If you can't beat them, join them. Instead of trying to curse them, go down there and befriend them. And intermingle with them. And then God will have to punish them for disobeying his word. Because they'll make a covenant with you. And you'll become friends, and then they'll worship your gods, and you'll get what you wanted in the end, which is exactly what happened. But he says what will happen is they will be, verse 12, a snare. Look at Deuteronomy 7:16. And we'll see this again. But if we bring it into our Christian lives, do you think the devil doesn't have a few snares out there in the world to trap us? If we go and try to make a covenant with the world, we can't do it. God says, no, my covenant is stay away from the world, be a testimony of being separated from the world, and how God will use you if you will obey my commandments. But don't make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. Don't go and make agreements with them. Deuteronomy 7:16, and thou shalt consume all the people. In other words, when you go into the promised land, which is obviously yet to come in our study, when you get there, what do I want you to do? Kill them all. Now that might sound harsh, but that's exactly what God commanded always from the start. When you go into that promised land, it's your land, but I want you to kill everybody. Because if you don't, you're going to make covenants with them. If you don't get rid of everybody and everything, you're going to end up worshiping their gods, which is exactly what happened. Thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thy now shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. But you shall destroy their altars, their images, cut down their groves. In other words, destroy everything that is ungodly. Get rid of everything. Destroy it. Break it down. Again, what does that mean for you and me? Get rid of everything from the past, everything wicked. And then the heart of our message tonight, for thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. God here revealing another one of his names, a name that we often don't hear about. He's saying his name, not only is it one of his character traits, but it's actually his name. Jealous. When we think of the word jealous, we always think negative, don't we? But because God is holy and righteous, there's no negativity to it. This is what you call righteous jealousy. And God says, I am jealous. It is my name. He is a jealous God. Deuteronomy 4:24 says, I am a consuming fire, even a jealous God. 1 Corinthians 10:22, turn over there quickly. 1 Corinthians 10:22, even in the New Testament, the Bible says that we can provoke God to jealousy. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:22. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? God didn't stop being a jealous God at Calvary, did He? That's still His name, and that's still who He is. He's still jealous. And so in this passage that we've looked at tonight, He reveals what He's jealous over. And so let's look at that again, go back to our passage. First of all, we see here in verse 14 that God is jealous over worship. Notice He says, thou shalt worship no other gods. Verse 17, thou shalt make thee no molten gods. God is jealous over worship. That has always been true and will always be true. We get to the New Testament, John writing his first epistle, not the gospel, but the epistle. The last verse of 1 John is chapter 5, verse 21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. God is still a jealous God. And He's jealous over worship. And we're going to get to heaven and be surprised at how much that was put across as worship here on earth wasn't worship at all. It was man enjoying himself, but that wasn't worshiping a holy God. God is jealous over worship. And we get to the woman at the well. What does God say? God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, which we'll be talking about in Sunday school soon. So the first thing we see is God is jealous over worship. He refuses to allow us, short of facing chastisement, to worship anything, anyone else but Him. But that's right, because He's the only one worthy of worship. Amen? So it's right for Him to be jealous of our worship. Then, as we saw in verse 10, He's jealous over His testimony. Remember, He said there, I will do marvels, but He says, before all thy people, but I will also, as He went on to say, verse 10, and all the people shall see. He's not talking about the Jews. He's talking about the other nations and the other surrounding areas. They're going to see. And God has always been jealous over His testimony. When He calls us to be His children, does He call us to have a testimony? He sure does. He says He wants us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. And if you look at 1 Corinthians 9:12, we're commanded to not do anything that should hinder God's gospel. And as Christians, this is how it works. When we obey, He blesses. When we delve into sin, then He has to chastise us because we have now begun to damage what? His testimony of what He will do when people are His children. And so we attack that testimony. He's jealous of that. 1 Corinthians 9:12. If others be partaker of this power of you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Paul said, God forbid that I would do anything to hinder the gospel of Christ, to hinder God's testimony. God is jealous of His testimony. He wrote a book for us, amen, called the Bible. And this is it. This is our authority. This is righteousness. This is everything we need. He's jealous of Himself, of His testimony. Then we saw in verse 11, not only is He jealous over worship and His testimony, He's jealous over His word. Verse 11, look what He said. Observe that which I command thee this day. In other words, observe what I am now giving you. Moses is back on the mountain. God is writing the commandments again. He says, I am commanding you to observe my word. And God has always been jealous over his word. If you look at Deuteronomy 4:2, we'll see this. Deuteronomy chapter 4, it's another passage where God talks about being a jealous God. Deuteronomy 4. And I forget where he says he's a jealous God, but yeah, verse 24. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. But in this chapter, look at verse 4. Is it verse 4? No. Sorry, verse 2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Moses, I'm giving you my word. Whatever you do, don't what? Add or take away. Sound familiar? Revelation chapter 22. Don't add or take away from the word of God. God is jealous over his word. He gave us exactly what he wanted us to have. He doesn't want us to take away from it or add to it. And then he, as we saw back in our passage, he's jealous over his own people. Look back where we were at Exodus 34. Look at verses 12 and 13. He says, take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. In other words, I want you protected. And then down in verse 15, lest I make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after other gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and eat thou sacrifice, and take their daughters unto thy sons, and so forth. In other words, God is jealous over us, his children. He's jealous over his own testimony, over his worship, his word, but even his children. If you look at 1 Peter 2:9, we'll see this for Christians. But you and I are God's chosen ones. I'm not talking in a Calvinistic election sense. But once we became saved, we became God's precious children. And he's jealous over us. Look at 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation. See that word chosen? A royal priesthood. This is us. And a holy nation, a peculiar people. We're supposed to be peculiar, in other words, separate. That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So God telling Israel right from the beginning, they haven't even left Mount Sinai yet to head for the promised land. We already know what's going to happen when we get there, but that's a whole other story. He says, Moses, my name is jealous. Because I'm a jealous God. I am jealous over worship. I will punish any who worship anything, anyone other than me. I'm jealous of that. I am jealous over my own testimony. When I give someone my grace, when I give someone my salvation, I want them to be a testimony of me, of what can happen when a life is transformed by me. I want them to show the world what can happen. And when we do the opposite, and when we act like the world, we're hurting God's testimony, which is one of the reasons why he has to then chastise us. Because we're bringing reproach upon his name. He's jealous over his word. He says, Moses, here's my word. I'm writing it down. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. We get to the New Testament. He finishes the New Testament. He says the same thing. Whatever you do, don't mess with my word. Amen. And that's one of those heavy duty passages that said, if you mess with my word, I'll take your name out of the book of life. That's something to chew on, isn't it? And then he says, I'm jealous over my own people. I want you to be these special people, peculiar. He often referred to Israel as peculiar. He refers to us as peculiar. I'm jealous over you. You're my children now. You're my chosen ones. You're my royal priesthood. I don't want you to go and now intermingle with these wicked ones. I'm jealous over you. So that's a pretty heavy truth, isn't it, that God is jealous? A righteous jealousy. But it should remind us that we have to be careful about God's testimony, not to hinder it, not to hinder the gospel. We have to be careful not to allow any idols into our lives. Idols don't have to be golden figurines. We have to be careful about His Word, that we don't try to say, well, that doesn't apply to me, or that part's not that important, to acknowledge that it's all God's Word and we're not ever going to try to change it or whatever, remove it. And, of course, we're his children now. He's jealous over His children. We're His special, chosen royal priesthood. So we need to act like it. Amen? He says, I'll make a covenant with you. Obey my word. And I'm going to do marvels. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to use you to be a testimony. And whatever you do, don't make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. Whatever we do, don't make a covenant with the world. Amen? Or we're just asking for trouble. Our God is a jealous God. His name is jealous. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this reminder tonight about your righteous jealousy. I pray it would remind us, Lord, that we have a responsibility to protect your testimony, to protect your word. Lord, to protect ourselves from this world and making a covenant with it. And Lord, to only worship thee with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Thanks for reminding us of these great truths tonight. We love you and pray in Jesus' name.